prayed last weekend, and I appreciate Sam. I got to listen to the CD from last Sunday, the message, and thank you, Sam. And very profitable. You can see that I was on the road, though, quite a bit, and in traffic in towns, and reading license plates. Yeah, some of you saw that, some of you didn't. But are you filled up? Is our topic this morning in Colossians chapter 1, if you would like to turn there. Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Quite a few years ago, Vacation Bible School had a theme song that planted itself in my memory. And it comes from Psalm 126 and verse 3. And that verse says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Well, the song for Vacation Bible School couldn't just be that we are filled up with joy. It was, I'll try this. Now, if I can think of how it goes. I can't think of a melody now. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled to the top with joy. And kids would bounce around and sing, "To the top, we're clear, full of joy." The Bible talks about being filled up with many things, doesn't it? It tells us to be filled with joy. It tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, so there's being filled with love and joy and peace, long-suffering, compassion. We're to be filled up with a lot of different things. This morning, we're going to center down on verse 9. And it talks about being filled up, and the Apostle Paul praying that these people in Colossae would be filled up with something. And we're going to talk about that. But let's read. Since I stuck the whole section of verses together here, let's read down through verse 14. You can follow along in your Bible, and all of us have a little bit different translations in these days. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version this morning. So you follow along, and you can get all those words in there too. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Lord, we come to Your word with thanksgiving. Thank You for preserving this for us. And we do have many different translations, making it applicable, understandable, and we can know You because Your Spirit is the one that transfers those words from the page to our minds and hearts. Please do that today. Move among us by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You think of those people in Colossae, people that Paul had never met. For the most part, he didn't go to that city. People that had been raised in Gentile environment, an idolatrous environment. And Paul, the apostle, had a burden for the people that came out of that idolatry. He had something that weighed heavily on him. And so he prayed. He had a burden. Now, we know that they had a variety of backgrounds in Colossae. It was a Roman city, and so they had coins that were minted and expressed as they used their coins, that they were under Caesar's authority, and as good Roman citizens, they would worship Caesar as a deity. And they worshiped many deities, and we can tell it from the coins that were found in the vicinity of Colossae. And so archaeology and archaeologists have done us a big favor in giving us a bit of the profile of what Colossae would have been like. And each one have their shrines, and they have Artemis, I didn't write them all down, but there was a list of about 7 or 8 different gods or goddesses that they had in their worship. The reason I think this book of Colossians is important for us is that people are still searching for truth. They still have their gods that are they're trying to make fulfill them. God of materialism, God of spiritism, a search for something outside of themselves that will fulfill them. And that's what the people in Colossae were doing too. They're trying to fill up their lives with many different things. But these people that Paul is writing to found in the Lord Jesus the truth, that he is the way and the truth and the life. And he's writing to them not as someone that is like a bishop or a hierarchy of religious people, and they have to do what he says, but he's writing to them as an apostle, a representative of Christ who loves them, who wants to nurture them and bring them along in the faith. They do have some well-schooled people there, because Paul had taught for 3.5 years in Ephesus, and it sounds from what we read in Colossians, that Epaphras was one of those that went down to school. I talk about the school I went to sometimes as being my 3 years in the desert, in the wilderness. If you've been to Saskatchewan, you can appreciate it's just a little bit worse as far as population than North Dakota. I mean, North Dakota might be the place where people are scarce and you wonder why anybody would live there. Well, you take that and drop it down a notch and you have Saskatchewan. And it's colder, the population only goes halfway up the province. I mean, it's unpopulated. And so my 3.5 years or 3 years in Bible school in Saskatchewan, much like Colossians wilderness, but then going down to Ephesus for Bible school with the Apostle Paul. These people had found the way, the truth, and the life. They became disciples. And what was Paul's burden? How does he express it? He does in verse 3 and in verse 9. He says, "We give thanks to God the Father," in verse 3, "of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you," always in prayer for you. And in verse 9, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of your faith, do not cease to pray for you." And so this business of praying is something that Paul is doing from a distance. He hasn't met the majority of the people, but his burden is for them. They are now to grow in the faith, and by prayer, he wants to give them those resources from the Lord. I want to mention here, too, that when we pray for people that are some distance away from us, can you lodge this in your mind? I had a professor that would keep telling us, write this in your mental notebook. And in fact, this is what he did. But I'd like to pass that on to you. To write it in your mental notebook. That God is always a father, or God is a father that's always present. When we pray, we're not asking God to somehow reach some distance and touch the life of a loved one, a friend, someone that we're aware of a need, but we're not going to be able to be there. What we can do is pray. And God is a father who is always present. And I'd like for you to have that confidence that when we pray, our prayers are effective. And God is not reluctant to answer our prayers. He's not a reluctant God. If we pray long and hard enough, maybe finally we'll get through. But He wants to bless the people that we pray for. He wants to answer. He wants to work in their lives. Please pray. Well, the Apostle Paul was going to build in his instruction in this letter, he's going to build on the foundational truths that they have already received. In verse 4, he says what he has heard from them already about them. Since we heard of your, first of all, faith in Christ. This is foundational for them. They have faith in Christ. The second thing is that you have love for all the saints. And then the third thing was that you have hope, which is laid up for you in heaven. Faith, hope, and love. The foundational truths, those virtues that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. Now there abideth, or there remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When I said that, how many of you recited that in your mind? I hope anytime we recite the scriptures, we read the scriptures, if you're not looking at the page, think through and say it also. Plant that word in your heart, in your mind. So faith, hope, and love. And this is going to be what Paul's building on. And I had a question then for you that I ask myself. How do these truths, how do faith, hope, and love, how do these truths influence or determine our responses to stressors, to stresses, to those things that stress us out? Faith, hope, and love. Do they affect our lives and the things that cause us stress? If you wanted to write stressors out, it's S-T-R-E-S-S-O-R, a stressor. and we have a lot of those trying to attack our peace and certainty in Christ. Well, the prayer of the Apostle Paul and his prayer request to God was very specific. Back to chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it... Oh, and I wanted to... where do I get to that? I skipped over it. I wanted to hit that. Notice Paul isn't praying by himself. For this reason we also pray for you. We. Who would that be? It's good when we can pray corporately or in a small group. Because Paul had a small group there in the rented house, that he was under house arrest, that he had a soldier chained to him, but he had people coming in. We know that because Timothy is there, verse 1. Paul and Timothy are writing this letter. Timothy's probably the... call it not a scribe, but an amanuensis, the one who is writing the letter. And then we turn over a few pages to chapter 4. And And look at the list of people that are there. They're not always with Paul. But I believe that they would be in and out to a degree. We have Tychicus. We have Onesimus, Aristarchus. You know, if you read these names, you get a good start on Greek. We don't say these names ordinarily. Aristarchus and Mark and Barnabas. Well, he's just talking about Mark being a cousin of Barnabas. But Epaphras. Oh, there were several. And we, when we're together, we pray for you. In chapter 4, is it? Chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know what great struggle or conflict we are battling for you. That's their time in prayer. It's a struggle. It's a conflict. And we are praying for you. We want you to know this. We. Now, I'm going to put a plug in because at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoons, we have a small group praying. And anybody is welcome to come. Anybody can join us to pray at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And if you have a really heavy burden of a prayer request, we will pray for you if you mention it on Sunday. We'll pray for you during the week. Or if you mention it to a friend, I'm sure they'll pray for you. We buckle down there, and we're meant for business on Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock. If you can come, join us. But Paul's prayer was very specific. We pray. We ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need this. We really need to know what God's will is because the world is determined to press Christians into its mold, and you are either pressed into the world mold or the world will punish. It's happening in the U.S. and it's happening all over the world. In Romans chapter 12, you probably got ahead of me a little bit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. It's like a vortex, and it's trying to suck you down in this whirlpool, a whirl cesspool. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how does God want us to interpret stressors and deal with them? I have three. There are many, many more. But I just have three that I was dwelling on and thinking about I was doing quite a bit of reading and trying to get people's thoughts from the internet. And some of it was kind of dark, some of it was informative. But there was a stressor that we've come through, but there are countries in the world today that are dealing with it even this morning. And that is when we were told during COVID, close the church. It happened all over the world. Shelter it in place. I heard that from a friend and we got a letter from Heather McNee in Brazil. Shelter in place. How did they get that language? And it produced stress. Closed the church doors. And some of them still haven't opened. We got a taste of what people are experiencing. In the World magazine, a Christian news magazine, there was a little article about what happened in the UK, in the United Kingdom, to a lady, a Christian lady, who stood outside a closed abortion clinic and bowed her head. And the thought police, the law of the UK, came along at a request of an upset citizen, and they arrested her for thinking. That's a stressor. What happens if we, in the market, get to talking with someone and we say, "Can I pray with you?" And we go off in the corner and someone hears us. They say we're muttering and we're saying we're praying in the corner. And if they were to say, "Police, here is someone doing something in a public arena that shouldn't be done. It's not in a church or anything like that. It's in a store." Do you think that could ever move in on us? Is that possible? Well, when these things come up, remember Jesus' words. John chapter 15 and verse 18. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." If you identify with Christ, and there are occasions that we do things or say things that people say, "That sounds like a Christian," that we can know the world will hate it. Expect it. And Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. And the first part of that particular verse: "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial as though something strange were happening to you. Jesus said to expect it. In this world you will have tribulation, you'll have trouble, but don't lose heart. I've overcome the world." Well, that was one thing that can be a stressor for us, is that the world is going to oppose us. And sometimes it comes down as a... something that if you violate that, there are going to be repercussions. If you don't follow the course of this world, then the world has a tendency to punish those who don't follow its ways. The second thing was, I got a kick out of this one: climate change. Now, in our church, in a body like this, there may be people that think differently about climate change, so I'm not just going to shoot it down. But, you know, when I read about it, and they said, if we don't take care of climate change, it's going to destroy life as we know it on Earth. So, donate to our organization. What's that got to do with it? If you throw money at it, we're going to win, right? It seems strange to me. Yeah, promote this thing and throw money at it. And that's what our government is actively doing, trying to do. What's our confidence? Paul is praying that you be wise. Okay? What is our confidence? Is this something that we are to be upset about, stressed out about, because we're having extreme weather, and the weather is extreme? I'm using others' words. The weather is extreme because the climate is changing, and it's the glaciers are going away, and the ice packs are melting up north, and so on, and we are having extreme weather. You're all going to die. Does that stress you? Who's in control of this world? How long has there been weather? Has it always been good? Have there been extremes? Yes. Who's in control? God is. This is part of the wisdom of not being caught up in the ways of the world. Paul is praying that you have wisdom from above, that you have God's wisdom. I would like to mention, though, and I think you would agree, that we need to correctly manage our stewardship that God has given us. Correct the mismanagement that's been going on. That we need to be careful with this world that we live on. But His timing, His way, is going to bring about His ends. And then there's two countries that are causing some people a lot of concern and a certain amount of grief, and that's Russia and China. And they've been dialoguing about joining forces. At least that's the rumor. But it's disturbing people. And you can run into it online that this is really a big issue. We better be doing something about it. We better be building up our defenses. We better be careful about helping these guys out. It has the possibility of having a huge effect on American life. It's very uncertain. You know, the more you listen to that, a person could probably get a bit scared. If the Bible didn't talk about it, did you know that Judah in the Old Testament ran into the same sort of situation? And there were countries that were aligning themselves against Judah. Back in Isaiah chapter 8, I love this passage because God gives a hope even when there is possible tragedy in view. Isaiah chapter 8, if you have your Bible open and turn back there, it's chapter 8 beginning with verse 11. And the Lord is speaking to Isaiah, and he recorded this. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, not those countries. So the Lord of hosts, verse 13, let him, he is the one you shall hallow, and he is the one you are to fear. Let him be your dread, and the first part of verse 14, and he will become a sanctuary. If you don't listen to all the things that you can be afraid of, the Lord will be your harbor. He'll be your sanctuary. He'll be your peace. He'll be the one who satisfies the needs that you have. Don't listen to what's going on around you and take it to heart that we're going to be destroyed. No. God has other plans. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter picked up on that verse. And he used it here. In chapter 3, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But set apart the Lord Christ in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have in meekness and fear. So in spite of all the threats and all the things that could stress us, God would be our sanctuary. Paul is writing then that you may be filled, you be filled to the top with the knowledge of His will. His will is for us to trust Him. His will is for us to pray for those events in the world, but not to be consumed by them. Don't be a victim of them. And God's will is contained in both the Old and New Testaments. And His word guides us in every sphere of our lives. There's something we need to get here. The wisdom and spiritual understanding isn't meant to apply only to things of the church, but to everything a person encounters in this life. That we would be wise in the wisdom and spiritual understanding that God gives for every area of our life. Sometimes we read things out of the Bible and we say, well, that applies to life in church. Let's not categorize it that way. This is our life. And that God would fill us up in the knowledge of His will regarding all those things, everything that comes our way. We would know the will of God. We have a long-term book that tells us the very end, God's word to us. God knows the beginning and the end, and His word anticipates the ages. God knew what would be happening in 2023 in the whole world. God knows how this world's going to end. How is it going to end? He's not going to flood it again with water. What's going to be the end of this world? How's He going to destroy it? By fire. We know that. Are people going to be the agents of the end of the world? People will be the agents of a lot of destruction, but God is ultimately in control of this world. Life and death are in His hands. Since He knows the beginning and the end, He has given us Psalm 119 and verse 105. Let's read it together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where are we going to find the truth? The word of God. Read the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul is praying in Colossians about that God will fill you with the knowledge of His will. And we can have a part in that too. When we have a question, what can we do? Let's read James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God doesn't withhold it. You need wisdom? How do we deal with this thing that is being presented night after night after night after night after night? And they keep harping on this particular issue. And I'm becoming a bit disturbed about this. What do we do? Ask God for wisdom. God, do you have a plan for this? I'm sure you do. How do you want me to respond? And He gives wisdom, He gives His peace. Have you noticed that things are getting to you, causing you to be maybe a bit anxious? Or when it comes on, you feel your blood pressure go up and your face turns a little red and you become a little angry? What are we to do? Where did the faith go that we had at one time? When these things are getting to us, what happened to our faith? Well, the Lord knows your need. He knows my need. He knows what's going on in our minds and in our spirit. And we can ask Him to provide what we need. There's a promise in Psalm 81, verse 10. I think you could memorize this morning. What Paul prayed was, he's asking God that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he gives us a prayer in Psalm 81:10. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Ask Him. How big is your need? Open your mouth wide. I'll fill it. I'll give you what you need. And we can ask. First of all, we need a Savior. To come before God, we need to be reconciled to God. We need a Savior who will take our sins out of the way. Jesus did that. He died on the cross. And He bore our sins in His own body on that cross. He took our sins. He gives us His righteousness. We also need to experience peace with God. God, I'm not feeling peace. I need You to come and fill me. Give me Your peace. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to continue to learn to walk in faith with the Lord Jesus that we trust. Now that concludes my message this morning, but if you'd like to have a question answered or a little more discussion about any, I invite you to talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to a friend that you trust. But don't leave here with your questions unanswered or people praying for you. I'd like to close in prayer for us. Father, there's a lot of bombardment that goes on in our world, bombarding our consciences, bombarding our stands for Christ, our position in Him. Satan is an enemy that's been around a long time, and he knows how to get to us. But it's our faith in Christ that we stand in. It's our love and the love that we've received from You that strengthens us. It's our hope that is certain, a destination with You, so we need not have fear. Lord, fill us up with Your Spirit. Fill us with the knowledge of Your will. And help us to apply that in our lives, that we might be those that people ask, what is the reason for Your hope in all the things that are going on in this world? And to be able to answer them through the knowledge of Your will. We thank You for loving us. We love You in Jesus' name.